All right. Good morning, everybody. No, no, no. Let's try that one more time. I said, good morning, everybody. That's a little bit better. Hey, so if you're a guest this morning, we just want to say thank you so much for being here, joining us at Motion Church. Today is a little bit different, so if you're kind of weirded out, come back next week, and we'll weird you out all over again. So we are a church. We pride ourselves on being a little bit different, and that's okay, because I think we're all a little bit different, right? One of the things we like to do here at Motion is we like to celebrate the people who make this place work, make it run, make sure you have coffee to drink, make sure you have donuts to eat, make sure you have incredible music to listen to. And so we celebrate our volunteers. So we have this thing of the we call Volunteer of the Month, where we just take a little bit of time and celebrate one of our volunteers. So we also dole out these incredible trophies. I mean, these things, that's high society right there, people. High society. And so the Volunteer of the Month for this month is a fella who does so much for the church. And here's what I love about this guy is that not only does he do it, but he does it with an incredible attitude. Have you run across people who they'll do the work, but you're going to hear all about it, right? And he is not like that. He serves behind the scenes. He's also out front at times. And so we call him Mama. Where's Connor James? Mama Connor. Connor James. Connor is one of our musicians, but not only does he doesn't just get up here and play guitar. He practices all throughout the week. He always dreams about ways to make what we do better and more creative and more awesome for you guys. So thank you, Connor, for all you do. Mama Connor. That's a long story. So, hey, we're starting a series this week called The Table, right? Clearly. You guys, did y'all notice that? Right? It's so incognito. And so we're starting a series this week called The Table, and kind of just to give you some idea of what we're going to be talking about, where we're going with this, that I'm not just a complete kook. There's a method to the madness. So I was thinking about tables, and you know what's fascinating to me is that tables have been around for thousands of years. Like, doesn't that kind of like, is it interesting to you at least? It's interesting to me. And I'm like, that's so cool that tables have been around for thousands of years. And I start thinking about how many conversations have been had around tables throughout history. And you think about, for me, you may not agree with this, but I think about all the food that has been served on tables over the course of thousands of years. I love food, right? And then also think about like all of the different types of people, personalities, and uniqueness in each of the chairs that are gathered around the table. It's just a really, really cool idea to think that this is something that's been going on for thousands of years. So the table for us in this series will be the wise old sage. It'll be the teacher. It's going to show us some things about ourselves, about our relationship with God that I think are really important, that are paramount to increasing our faith, to being more Christ-like, which is the ultimate goal. Like Daniel mentioned, our mission here is to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ. That is essentially it's a really fancy way of saying, hey, let's grow, let's mature, let's become more devoted to Jesus. And so that's what the table is going to teach us and help us to do through this series. Are you with me? Aren't you? Didn't this thing just make you want to sit down and have a conversation or drink some coffee or have some food? Right? Yes, yes. So we're going to start the series today with a message called RSVP. Have you guys ever gotten an invitation to something and they ask you to RSVP? Now, let's have an honest moment in church. Why don't you ever RSVP, but you show up anyway? Come on, church folk, right? Like, they ask you to let them know that you're coming so they can anticipate how many people are going to be there so that they have enough food for you, but you don't even take the time to RSVP. You just show up. I do the same thing, right? It's for whatever reason, we're just like, oh, you know I'm coming. I don't have to RSVP. And so kind of the idea of RSVP is, hey, let us know that you're accepting the invitation, that you're coming, or declining the invitation. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this invitation that each of us have to the table. We've all been invited to sit at the table. One of the things that I love about Jesus, there are a lot of things, kind of as you learn more about people, one of two things happen. You become less impressed or more impressed, right? Come on, somebody, right? Like, once you get to know somebody, I kind of, oftentimes what happens is like, man, I wish I would have known them at a distance because I really liked them until I really got to know them, and then I was much less impressed than I was when I knew them at a distance. I had a guy tell me one time, I had lunch at a table with somebody one time, and this guy, he's very successful. He's a doctor, and he's a businessman, and so essentially the whole time that we were eating, he kind of set it up. He's like, basically, I'm just gauging whether or not this relationship is going to go anywhere. I was like, are we on a date? And so we haven't had lunch since, so I guess I didn't make the cut, right? I guess I am not the most eligible bachelor. And so it was really interesting, weird, and fascinating. So I love about Jesus, the more I learn about him, one of the things that I love is that you kind of find out these fascinating tidbits about Jesus. I heard somebody talking the other day about how, you guys are probably familiar with the story, when Jesus, they were on a boat, they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and then the storms came, and the disciples started freaking out. And where was Jesus? He was taking a nap. And I was like, I like naps. I like that Jesus took naps. And so I found some commonality with Jesus. Who would have thought that I had anything in common with Jesus, right? We both like naps. And so it's just kind of one of those really unique, interesting tidbits about Jesus that makes me like him even more. One of the other things that I love about Jesus is that it doesn't seem like he ever missed any meals. Except for when he was fasting, there was kind of this, you know, clearly articulated time in his life where he fasted for 40 days. But outside of that, he sat down at a lot of tables and had a lot of conversations and ate a lot of biscuits. Like, Jesus loved to eat. And now here's the other side to that. Like, if you want to eat like Jesus ate, you better walk like Jesus walked. Jesus walked off the bread before it made it to the hips, right? From the lips to the hips, he walked it off before it made that journey. And so if you want to eat like Jesus ate, you better work and walk like Jesus walks. Otherwise, you're going to have some problems, right? And so I love that Jesus loved food. I love that he loved to sit at the table and have conversations with people. And so many of the stories that we hear about Jesus are him sitting around the table with different types of people, different groups of people, and having conversations. Some of them were like the most serious, most important conversations the world has ever known. Those are incredible. Those are awesome. But I also think that sometimes he just sat around the table and enjoyed the company of the people that he did life with. I kind of get this, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, but I imagine that he was playful. Have you guys kind of gotten to a point when you finished eating dinner and you enjoy the company of the people that you're with so much that you don't want to leave, so you maybe order dessert or you get some coffee, and you just kind of start to enjoy each other. You laugh, you live, right? If you don't, you should. You should try that sometime. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this invitation that we have to the table. And I love that Jesus loved food, right? And I love that he loved to sit at the table. And so there are several occasions where he went to these houses of people who invited him to the table to eat. And what's so awesome about this is, like, I love that none of us are excluded from this invitation. So Jesus, he went and ate dinner with his disciples. Obviously, right? The people that he spent the most time with, he went to their houses and he ate their food and he spent time at their table and he had conversations with them around the table. But then he also went and spent time with the Pharisees. There were times where the Pharisees would invite him to their house for dinner and they would sit around the table and they would usually try to trip him up or try to catch him, and he would just more clearly explain to them the way of God because they had so perverted it and twisted what it meant to really follow God. And so that's one of the other groups of people that he also sat at the table with. And the last one is my favorite. It says that Jesus sat at the table with sinners. And he kind of got in trouble for it. Like, it's upset the apple cart, so to speak. Like, the Pharisees, they couldn't make sense of it. How is this guy who is supposed to be perfect, who is supposed to be the Son of God, the Messiah, how could someone who is perfect possibly hang out with a bunch of sinners? And so you find this story in, I believe it is Mark chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We've got it on the screen for you. And this is what it says. It says, later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with, now here, let me kind of give you some context. Levi was one of Jesus's, he was one of his disciples, but he was also previously or formerly a tax collector. And tax collectors were hated. Like, you know, we love the IRS in the United States, so you probably can't identify with this, but it was to an even greater extent at the time, because they were robbing Jewish people to pay Roman authorities. And so the Jews hated the tax collectors. And Levi used to be one, but now he's a disciple and follower of Jesus. So he invited Jesus to dinner along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Don't you love that? I love, because this is what happens, I think, sometimes. Maybe this is just the East Texas Christianity or the Bible Belt culture, but sometimes we think that we got to get cleaned up before we can come to Jesus. Sometimes we think that we got to act a certain way and walk a certain way and dress a certain way and talk a certain way before you can come to Jesus. And Jesus said, I didn't come for those who were well. I came for those who are sick. Those are the ones who I want to follow me. Those are the ones who I invite to the table to have a relationship with me. And so all of these disreputable sinners are hanging out with Jesus at the table. And when the teachers of religious law, the Pharisees, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? Right? And if you know any church folk, these are the kind of questions sometimes that come up, like especially like real church folk, like oversaved church folk. And you start hanging out with people who you are supposed to be hanging out with, because light can't be light unless there's some darkness, right? And so they start to ask, like, why would you hang out with that person? Because all they do is they've got these holy huddles, and they only hang out with people who are sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and all those sorts of things, right? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. So you got to have some expansion of your circle. You've got to include other people in your life who don't know Jesus, but that's another story that we'll talk a lot more about next week. So this is what I want to talk about today. I want to focus on the fact that every one of us, regardless of where we've been in our life, regardless of how you would label yourself or identify yourself, maybe you would consider yourself a follower of Jesus. Maybe you would consider yourself a disciple. Maybe you would consider yourself like the Pharisees, a hypocrite. Like maybe you're trying, but you keep falling, and you say one thing, but you do another. Maybe that's what you would label yourself as. Or maybe you would just be honest about your condition and label yourself a disreputable sinner. And like the Pharisee said, maybe you consider yourself scum this morning. What I love about this passage, what I love about Jesus, is that every one of us are invited to the table. And so what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to unpack this just a little bit and understand what that means, what that entails, this invitation, what's it all about. And the first thing is that the invitation is an invitation to relationship. And this has been well documented in YouTube Christianity. Everybody wants to let everybody know that it's not about religion, it's about relationship. We understand that religion is a necessity, it's a necessary component of relationship. That's a whole other thing. Like everybody gets, this is what we kind of like to do. We like to make ourselves famous at the expense of the church. And so we beat down church so that we personally become famous Christians. And I'm like, what are you really doing? But that's just my humble opinion. And that's probably a rant that I should have kept to myself, but I like to share things with you guys. So the first thing is the invitation to relationship. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Jesus inviting us to have a seat at the table. Like he pulls out the chair for us and he's already prepared it for us. I love it in Psalm how it says that he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And we're probably going to talk about that because that's too good. It's too rich to leave alone, right? And so we'll talk about that because that's some good stuff. But he's invited us to this table. He's invited us to this opportunity. He's invited us to this relationship. And I know that ultimately what that means is that he's invited us to a deeper conversation. He's invited us to deeper relationship with him. You've got people in your life that you kind of have a shallow relationship with, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. You've got associates, and you've got friendships, and there's a large distinction between the two, right? You've got people who you get really close with, who you sit at the table with, who you have those really important conversations with, and I think that's what Jesus is inviting us to, is deeper relationship. One of the things that Shelley and I do, we religiously, for lack of a better term, we religiously have a date night. If you are married, let me see all the married folk, raise your hands. Man, now if you're single, slip up your hands. All right, if you're single, peek around. Check out the options. All right, now stick your hands down. That's too long. But married folk, I think every one of you, if you are married, I think you need, especially if you have kids, you need a date night. You need a night that you leave the kids at home by themselves with matches. I'm kidding. That you leave them at home. If they're old enough to take care of themselves, then do that. If you need a sitter, get a sitter. But you need to get away, get out of the house, away from your kids with your spouse, so that y'all can sit at the table and catch up. and communicate. I think it's what has allowed Shelly and I to have a successful relationship. And by successful, I mean she hasn't fulfilled the death part of till death do us part. Right? She hadn't killed me yet. Because we have a chance at the end of the week, we go on Friday nights. And so if you call me on Friday nights and I ignore you, it's not because I don't like you. It's because she's more important than you. Right? Just to me, she is more important than you. Don't get all bent out of shape. I hope your spouse is more important to you than I am, because, geez, sensitive people. And so we go and we have these date nights. We sit around the table. We eat because we're in Longview. I mean, what else are you going to do, right? So we go eat, and we'll spend hours just talking. And it's a great time to catch up because, again, if you have kids, you haven't really talked to each other all week. It's been like, hey, you got her, I got him, we're going here, you go there, and these chores and this trash, and pick these people up, and I'm like an Uber driver with a dad title, right? And so we stop, we slow down, we take some time to get around the table, and we communicate. We talk, we have conversation. This is where we usually utilize this time to plan our next escapade, right? These are where the crazy ideas happen. Or we just enjoy each other's company, right? With food and dessert and coffee. God bless America, right? And it's so important that we do that. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to. It's the same thing. He's inviting us to a deeper relationship with him. He's inviting us to come. And I love all of the language around this. Jesus said that, hey, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my burden, because it's easier than the burden that you're trying to carry. There's another passage that says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And when we come to the table and we have a seat at the table, that's what we're doing. We're unloading. We're unpacking all of our cares and all of our concerns. We're reconnecting with the God who loves us. And that's what Jesus invites us to, is this relationship. You are invited to a relationship. John chapter 15, verses 15 and 16 says this. And this is really, I'll give you kind of some of the context in a minute. We'll read it and then we'll talk about it. Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And so this is what's really cool. When you read John chapter 15, it's a fantastic chapter. It's the one where Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, and all of those really, really important things. So a little further down in John chapter 15, verse 15, he's like, hey, you guys aren't just servants, you aren't just slaves, but you are my friends. Like, I care for you, I chose you. And here's what's really cool about this. So John chapter 15 obviously follows chapter What comes before 15? I know it's summertime. We hadn't started school. We hadn't got back in the routine yet, but come home, people, right? So you've got chapter 14, and then right before 14 is 13. Very good. And so basically what's going on here, in chapter 13, they're celebrating, they're observing what is referred to or known as the Last Supper, which was served around a table. We got a picture. Da Vinci, right? You guys, y'all know this. Da Vinci painted a picture to capture, depict the Last Supper. So in chapter 13 of John, they're sitting around this table and Jesus is unloading his heart and his love for them. And he's letting them know how much he cares for them. And he's letting them know like what's next in his life and consequently what's next in their lives. And then in chapter 14, you kind of find him just having conversation with his friends. And in chapter 15, he says that you aren't just servants and you aren't just slaves, but you're my friends. You've been invited to this relationship with me. And so that's what the table offers for us. That's what the table is kind of symbolic of, is the relationship that has been offered or extended to us because of Jesus. The next thing we're going to talk about is what this is probably going to be the highlight of some of your day. It's the bread of life. How many of you have you ever had homemade bread? How many of you choose your restaurants based on the bread they're going to bring you before you eat your meal? You go to Roadhouse because you get the rolls and the honey butter biscuits. Come on, right? You go to Outback because you like that, I call it chocolate bread. It's not chocolate, but it looks chocolate. Chocolate bread, right? You go to these different restaurants because of the bread, and we love bread. I love bread. As you guys, I go to the gym. I have a gym membership. Hopefully so that I can cancel out all of the bad food that I won't give up. And so we know that food is a necessity for life. That's obvious, right? If you go long enough without food, eventually you will stop living. You will die if you don't have food. And isn't it interesting that Jesus kind of makes this correlation, this connection between himself and food? And so you find in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever comes to me will never be thirsty again." I believe that, another of the benefits of accepting the invitation to the table is that we find our source of life, right? Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life," and so we know that we have to have food to live, and Jesus is saying, "Hey, you need me to live. You need me." Food equals energy in a really simple kind of formula. We understand that food is what is you know, it's processed physiologically. I don't know what are the proper terms here. Food basically goes in and it creates energy for your body. And so food, if food equals energy and Jesus said he is food, then Jesus is the energy that we need to do the things that he's called us to do. It's the energy that we need to go and face the life that he's created for us to live. It's the energy that we need to pursue the passions that he's placed in our hearts. He's the bread of life. It's the energy that you need to weather whatever storm is coming your way or whatever adversity you're facing in this season, right? It's the energy that you need that will sustain you. It's your source of life. And so when we come to the table, we're accepting that invitation and we're accepting that benefit that Jesus is the source of our life and he's our hope and he's the reason that we can face each day with our heads held high. Like there's this kind of this weird conundrum when you see Christians that are just beat down all the time and they're like negative Nancy's, and I'm like, did you read the same gospels that I did? Because the last I heard, it was called good news, not bad news. You got these people that all they want to talk about are all the bad things going on in the world. Let's focus on the good things that are going on in the world. That once you were lost, but now you are found. You're a sinner saved by the grace of God that was extended to you in spite of you, that you didn't deserve it, but he gave it to you anyway because that's how good he is. That's the good news. Let's focus on the good news instead of all the bad news, because you could do the bad news thing all the time and nobody, if you don't have any friends, that's probably why. That was just a free bit of information. Do with it what you will. So that's another of the benefits, is that, man, we have this energy to face whatever goes on in our life and to pursue the passions that he's placed in our hearts. And so the last thing is this, and this is going to be fun and maybe a little bit different for you, but the last point is dinner party. Have you guys ever had a dinner party? Have you ever had one of those, like sometimes people have themed dinner parties? We haven't done that. Have we done that? Yeah, I have a really bad memory. So Shelly, I'm like, did have we ever done this? And she's yes or no. She's kind of like my external hard drive. So the last point is this, dinner party. The last thing that we're going to look at is that when we accept the invitation to the table, we are also accepting the invitation to a dinner party. Emphasis on the word party. One of the things that Jesus said that he came to do in John chapter 10, it says that he came to give us life, not just this mundane, meaningless, boring, unintentional life, but he came to give us an abundant life, a life that matters, a life of value, a life of importance, and I kind of think a life of fun, a life of party, not that all you ever do is play video games and that's fun to you, right? Like you guys understand what I'm saying. I suspect that Jesus was very serious, but I also suspect that he had some fun along the way. You cannot tell me that Jesus spent hours and hours and days and months and years with 12 guys and there wasn't some joking going on, right? You can't tell me that. You couldn't convince me that Jesus wasn't a bit of a prankster. You couldn't convince me that he didn't have a sense of humor. Obviously, first things first, right? He was serious about the mission that God had placed in his heart. He was serious about saving the world, but I also think he had some fun along the way. It was a dinner party, right? He had fun. He experienced this real and abundant life that God has called us to experience. And so I imagine that even though they had these really huge, paramount conversations around the table about eternity and about salvation and about eschatology and etymology and systematic theology, I'm sure they had all of those conversations, but I also imagine that after they finished eating and they were just hanging out, that Jesus probably started to pick on Peter a little bit. He probably started teasing him about his mother-in-law, right? If you don't know the story, like some people say that the only reason that Jesus denied or Peter denied Jesus was because that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Some of you are slower. I'm going to give you a second to process that. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law at some point along the way, and some people think that's why Peter denied Jesus, was because that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So I imagine they're sitting around the dinner table. They've had the important conversations. Everything's clear. Jesus, he's explained the things that he had to explain like 600 times because we're slow, right? Jesus is like over and over re-explaining the things that he said. And so he's explained it all. He's clarified. And then he probably just has some fun. He probably enjoys the company of the people who are in his life. And I think that's what we're invited to. We're invited to enjoy the company of the people that God has placed around us, this community that he has placed us in, and we're invited to that. We're invited to share in the love, the encouragement, and this purpose that we have together as a body, as a group of people following Jesus. So those are some of the things that this invitation entails. But most importantly, I think we need to just kind of clarify, to clear the air, that we've all been invited ultimately to a relationship with God through what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so I think we need to RSVP for that. If you haven't, then today's your day, man. There is no reason why today shouldn't be the day that you choose to follow God and put your faith and trust and hope in Jesus for salvation, that you accept the invitation that he's extended to you for eternal life, abundant life now and eternal life forever. So what we're going to do this morning, if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, I want to pray for us. God, thank you so much for all that you do for us. God, things that we don't even know, things that we can't even possibly understand, things that are beyond our ability to comprehend. God, that you are this incredibly gracious and giving and generous God who gives and gives and gives. And most importantly, God, you gave your one and only Son for my sin, for our sin, for the sin of every person in this room. And so, God, I pray that if there's anybody in the room today and they haven't accepted this invitation to a relationship with you, that today they would RSVP, that they would reserve their place at the table, that they would experience the new life that you offer to them, the hope that you offer to them, the mercy, the forgiveness, and the grace that you extend to them if they come to the table. If you're in a room this morning, and that's you, and you haven't accepted this invitation, or maybe you've been at the table and you've left the table, and now it's time for you to come back to the table. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand, and we're going to pray for you right where you're at. No heads up, no eyes looking around. Just slip up your hand, and we want to pray. Awesome. Anybody else? Father, thank you so much. God, I pray that those of us who've decided to accept this invitation this morning, God, that we'll come to the table, that we'll enter into this relationship with you, that we'll grow closer to you, and our lives will never be the same because of it. God, that you would change our hearts, you would change the way that we see things, the way that we think about things, and ultimately, God, you would change our world because of what you're doing in our hearts. Help us, God, to never leave the table, to always be in a relationship with you. God, to always experience the abundant life that you've called us to. We love you, and it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.